and I've always said that I wear the Leafs jersey to avoid having conversations with Boston fans, because as soon as I always say, oh, I'm a Bruins fan, what about you? I think we're not going to get along. I have yet to meet a Boston Bruins fan that I enjoy the company of. It has never happened. When I meet someone and they rub me the wrong way, I'm like, you're a bit abrasive. I don't really like your vibe. And then they're, oh, I really like the Bruins. I'm like, yeah, that tracks. I mean, when I'm wrong, I will admit being wrong. But so far, I have not been wrong. I am Roz. Joining me is my co-host, Ian. And together, despite the fact that we are fervent Canadian hockey and sports just addicts, we are instead attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry tonight. Because, yeah, you know us at our sports. Whoo!
We'll know all about.
We'll talk sports all day. What's that good one everyone's playing now? Golf? Yeah. Mostly.
Go team golfing.
Most of the time now, anytime any sport comes up, I think I immediately get into a conversation with a complaint, because my mother, all she wants to do is talk about pickleball. And as soon as she starts talking about pickleball, I feel just every hair on the back of my neck stand up in just contrariness.
Does she play pickleball? She's Scottish.
I don't think she's played it, but everyone in her age-ish group is certainly making a sport of it. And I mean, fine, get out and get active, but it's just, it's half a sport. Why are you playing a worse version of both badminton and tennis? Why?
And tennis. I feel that way a little bit about
pickleball. It's so bad.
Ross, curling. I always feel that's a bit. That's not a sport to me. I mean, no, it is. It's a sport in the same way as darts.
It's more akin to lawn bowling.
Yes, but I would lump them all into the same thing. To me, they're pastimes. They're a gentle past. I mean, there was a guy that used to play the heavyweight of the Crown Green lawn bowls circuit in the 70s and 80s in the UK was a guy called David Bryant. And this is now
it was on the tip of my tongue. You cut me off before I knew the answer. Sorry, it was.
No, but how many sports do you know where you can play it while you're smoking a pipe? Not too many, but that was his thing. He used to smoke a pipe during the game, and I thought, no sport. You can't really call it a sport if you've got a pipe hanging from your mouth while you're playing the whole game.
I guess. I can mostly agree, too. There are high-energy sports, and I recognize what sports those are. And then there are low-energy sports, and usually the ones that I gravitate towards, you know, golf. Go for a walk in the woods, and occasionally if you see something hittable, you hit it. And that's the sport, quote-unquote. I mean, yeah, we could crap on all the sports. We did not come to crap on all the sports. We are here to try some beers. And tonight, we did get these actually quite a while ago. These are some ESBs that we picked up. In fact, we had this one previously, and it wasn't called the Crossroads ESB from Smokehouse Nano. It was called I think it was just called ESB, and it just had a little sticker down the side. This was back in their gray blank nothingness sticker phase, but this with this nice, you know, the blue, this is a very navy blue top and a Acadia red bottom, but the Crossroads ESB now weighing in at 5.6%. And I had a little bit of an adventure trying to go on both Lazy Bear and Smokehouse's sites to see if I could get, I usually look up the item description and whatnot. Over on the Smokehouse page, and I'm very impressed that you were able to get a can of this, because on Smokehouse's website, they list 15 beers and 4 seltzers, and the Crossroads is not on there.
The fridges were stocked full of the Crossroads ESB. When you just said there a minute ago that this was some time ago that we got these, it may have been, but mine was literally probably 6 hours ago since I got mine. This is very well represented in the Smokehouse itself, in a four-pack and in singles. And I'm looking forward to it, because until you just said that, I was thinking to myself, I'm sure I've had the Smokehouse ESB before, but you've just said that this one is specifically called the Crossroads ESB. Have they changed the recipe, or is it a completely new
I don't know, and they've been too busy to come on the show. Because I've asked them a couple of times, they've been too busy to come on the show. But yep. All I know is when we had it with the gray sticker on the side of it, just, and it was a very temporary, I'm not sure if it was a temporary recipe, one of them, I think it was mine. That was the time that mine popped in the cupboard.
Okay.
And I think you drank yours, but then I thought you went out and got us some more of these, or I got one. I honestly do not remember how we got around to this, but we've got the Smokehouse ESB, and it doesn't say it's listed on the website, but apparently if you go into the brewery, it is right there. Because I started worrying, I thought, is this out of circulation? But if you could buy it, then it's there. Now, since it doesn't say it on the website, luckily it does say on the side of the can, we have the description, the Crossroads ESB. This addition to the Smokehouse lineup comes from our first homebrew competition winner, now brewer to our Smokehouse family. Oh, that's interesting. When poured, you will experience a deep copper color appearance, topped with a foamy, creamy head that every beer lover looks for. The balance of the selected malts and traditional English hops meld well to give you a mild, bitter bite, but also lets the sweet caramel malts come through.
Gosh, that sounds good.
It do. I think we need to get into that one. Now, I also need to, for those of you watching on the Vision, the ESB, the Crossroads, is in the large can, the 473, but the one that we have from Lazy Bear is only a 355. And then if you look at my pint glasses, I have the full 20-ounce pint glass from Lazy Bear, but I only got a 16-ouncer from Smokehouse, so I'm going to be switching the glasses.
Aha!
Because
it's
the only way that
they're
going to
fit. I don't know what mine are.
You've got a, was that Breton? No. Black Angus Sons of... Yep, that's Breton.
Sons of Hector, yes, it is Breton. And just a generic lager glass.
Okay.
I'm going to put the generic lager glass to use right now with the ESB. I think that's going to fit.
The Crossroads, the Crossroads from Smokehouse, it smells malty. I'm getting definitely a maltiness. Oh, look at the cooler of that. That is delightful. That is a golden brown kind of...
it is malty.
Kind of color to it, an amber. Reminds me
of... The can is very full. It just, as soon as I cracked it, the old froth there immediately, pesky foam, immediately breached. This was very well loaded at 473 mils. This is where I find out whether this glass is a full half a pint.
Yeah, you are going to find out. There is the pesky foam is definitely... There, it's arriving. There's a lot of carbonation up the side. Now, again, these might differ slightly because mine was purchased back in October and yours is fresh today. Possibly, potentially, a new batch and whatnot.
Is it not written on it? There's some stampage going on. This was mine is from 12. Mine was December 23. So is yours?
Mine says 10/23.
Oh, so, well, then it's not going to be that much.
Couple of months.
I'm loving the color of it, Ross. This looks so much like, you know, you're talking about an ESB, an English style bitter. This looks so much like what I grew up drinking in the pubs when I was in my teens. The color of it and the head is bang on.
It's one of my favorite beer colors. I do like it because what I usually refer to this as, if you were, I don't even know how to describe it, pond water. You know, if you were a kid who sort of, you know, played in the water and then, you know, the pond, just the streams that were out back, ponds, you know, chasing frogs, that type of thing.
Yep.
There's a comfort that I associate mentally and nostalgically with this color. It's just when I see this kind of this murky brownish color, I was like, oh, I'm playing in the mud again. I go right back to being a little kid and I love it.
It looks so bloody tempting. I think we said in the past, my go-to for ESBs, and I think yours may be the same, the Propeller ESB, it takes some whacking. It really does. So if I have any ESBs, and we tried some fairly recently again on your podcast, and I remember saying then as well, it's got to go some. to reach the pinnacles that that the propeller ESB is doing. And I think we did, didn't we get there with one of them? And we was like, oh, this is so, so good. This is, I'm really excited about this. By the color and the look alone and the smell of the malt and the sweetness to it, this is, it's tempting.
We tried the best bitter ESB from Stillwell Brewing back in February, apparently.
Okay, it was fairly recently. And what's the consensus there?
I didn't write down what we thought of it. I'm behind. I'm so far behind in editing. This is why I need to do it kind of live while we're doing it. Anywho.
Don't worry. No worries.
I don't like that one. I don't know. But yes.
I seem to think we had a really good ESB fairly recently. It was only 2 months ago, so that might be the one. Sniff, sniff. Yep. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, indeed.
Oh, good to be back, by the way. It's been 3 weeks. I've been waiting diligently for That's 3 weeks.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That is a...
There's the back end to it as well.
Mine didn't really hit. It just gradually grew there. There was no real malt up front. It was kind of very hollow for malt. And then, the bitter, the bite is smoothly comes across. It starts to say, ah, yes. And here's a little bit of a whoosh of bitter. And then, yes, you are done. That is a...
Bitters. And it's got a... It does have, definitely have a bit of a sweetness at the back end. There is some flavor there. They said caramel, didn't they?
Am I getting
my goodness, that's really nice. It's really smooth, too.
Smooth. Sweet caramel malts come through. I wish I was getting a little bit more of the sweet caramel malts. I'm not quite catching it. But then again, we're only at the top, and I did pour the entire thing in, so we'll see.
Come on, sweet caramel. You're my sweet caramel.
Now, speaking of... What was I going to say? You said you hadn't been here for three, right? And every time you're gone for a bit or you miss 2 weeks in a row, for some reason, my mind always goes to either an English ale or an ESB, because in my imagination, the E in ESB stands for English. And I was like, well, we'd better have the English special, the English bitter for E. And I was like, well, an ESB is not technically an English ale, because that's not what the E stands for. And I'm constantly getting my acronyms wrong. What was it? The New England IPA. I got that wrong for the longest of times.
Extra special, isn't it?
Yeah.
Extra
special. Yeah. So I'm told. But it's different than an English pub ale. And we've had some of those. The English pub ales are, ooh, yum.
Yeah.
Those were good. But an ESB, so I am expecting... I mean, you can't say, it's too bitter. It's called a bitter. It's supposed to taste like this. Would I like a little bit more of a malty roundness at the beginning? Sure. But this is very, very good. Oh, I got it wrong. Even though it's in the Lazy Bear glass, it is the smokehouse.
Yeah. It's still got a little hoppiness to it. Mm-hmm. There's definitely... some hoppiness. I mean, there would be, it's maybe hops, but it does have a slight sharpness to it that I would associate with, dare I say, a pale ale or an IPA, but it's not cloying.
No.
like an IPA might be.
It doesn't pucker your mouth with the bitter.
No, it's really flavoursome, you got to say that, and it's really smooth. I'm just saying the word really a lot. I wish there was some synonyms
that I could use for that. Did you say you think you'd tried this before?
If if they've just given their ESB a name, i.e., was it just called the Smokehouse ESB in the past, and they've given it now a name, Crossroads, because they're right on the crossroads there in Berwick. I don't know. In which case, we have had it before. If they've just rebranded it. On the other hand, like I was asking there 10 minutes ago, I really should have asked the person serving there whether or not this was a new brew, a new ESB, or they've just rebranded it. I don't know, Ross, whether I've had this before.
I'll keep trying to reach out with my emails and occasionally with my face in person. In fact, and there's a... Oh, there's a tragic end to this story, but I did show you the model of our upcoming business cards with our names and whatnot. I do say drink NSDry on them, because it's happened now twice where I've gone and say, oh, I go into a brewery. I say, can I have a pint glass, please? And I'll buy these five cans. Yes, we're going to try these out. And I happen to host a podcast about Nova Scotia breweries. And I will say, can I take a card and I'll email you and hopefully get you on the show? And they said, yeah. Do you have a card? And I say, no. I have a tiny little podcast. No, I don't have a card. So I tried my hand at designing one, and I kind of like it, and thought it was pretty good. So we'll have those in hand soon.
I can add that to my slot in my phone.
Oh well, yeah, okay. What I was going to do the super classy way is, buddy of mine, Jamie hasn't been on the show yet, but I keep wanting to have him on here. He found that business cards fit really well into Altoids tins. So whenever he finishes a tin of Altoids, that's where he stores business cards.
Remind me, Altoids are for your indigestion?
No, those are Tums. Altoids, I think they're just like mints, but they come in all kinds. You can get ginger-flavored mints and things like that. So they're lozenge, I believe, is the correct word.
Lozenge. Yeah, they're
just a thing that you suckle on if you are of a finicky persuasion. Something just to keep your face busy. Chewing gum.
I am finicky, of a finicky persuasion, so I'm going to have to go and buy a tin of Altoids then if I want to keep all my credit cards in. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no other
reason to eat those, and no other place to put your business and or credit cards.
Thank you for the idea, Jamie. I like that.
Definitely what we're learning here. I want to get down to the bottom of it because I want to see if there's a sweeter flavor at the bottom. It's got some legs. It's definitely got some legs up the glass a little bit. The carbonation has gone away, and the head is definitely missing. But the look of it as you drink it. Look at your glass there with the legs coming down.
Oh, it's great.
That's lovely.
I love it too. It's not losing any of its flavor. Sometimes you get further down and the beers do change. Mm. I know we're not giving much opportunity to because we've only been at this maybe 10 minutes. but the flavor is not running away. It's not changing. It's still smooth as I'm going down. I'm well over half pint in. I like this, Ross. It's competing with the Propeller ESB. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's rather similar to the Propeller ESB, which I've had a gargantuan amount of in the last 15 years. I like it a lot.
I thought that we'd had the Blue Heron ESB from Sea Level on this show.
That rings a bell.
Apparently we have not.
Well, it's not in my fridge, so it does ring a bell.
When I talk to Nicole, manager, and her husband Joe, brewmaster of Sea Level, the next time I remind them that I want them to come on the show, or someone to come on the show, I will also point out that we can talk about the Blue Heron, or the is it the Blue Heron? Blue Heron ESB. Blue Heron ESB.
Is it a small can too? Is it a 355 can?
It is in the picture, but I think they also sell them in tall ones. Oh, wait, no, I'm wrong. 355 milliliter can or $7 growler fill. So you don't get the big... you can't get the big cans of the ESB. We've had the Rojo Mojo. I think we've had Blossom. The Blueberry Pale. One of my favorites, the Blueberry Pale Ale. But, yeah, Blue Heron, extra special bitter, but it does say it's an English-style ale. So we'll definitely have to get that into us.
For sure. You know, you were talking there about we tend to interchange those
the E,
but more often than not, when you have one of these ESBs, these extra special bitters, more often than not, it's the description on the can, and then their webpage is an English style bitter. Mm-hmm. They're almost interchangeable. So an ESB, I would imagine, is typically an English-style bitter. So let's just call it an English-style bitter and get it done with. They're very, very similar to an English style bitter. That is the truth.
I think it just says traditional English hops is the only thing that it says on the smokehouse one.
Okay.
But okay. You're going
to... That's not to say, of course, that all English style bitters taste the same.
No.
That would be ludicrous. But the style of it is very much a maltier, less hop forward, smoother, slightly sweeter,
mm-hmm.
Richer, and this color. This is the color and body that I associate with my youth. And I'll still move toward this. Every time I go in a pub, I'm going back again in 7 weeks, whatever it is, to ye old Edinburgh and Lincolnshire. Yeah, I know. Again, I seem to get there every year now. And what am I going to be heading straight for at ye old Wetherspoons? The best and cheapest pint of English-style bitter
you can find. Yeah,
absolutely. Well,
which is why I'm always excited when I find the wee heavy Scotch ale, because you know I like to a bit of a representation of it. I can't drink English-style bitters as a Scot, not with a straight face. One thing I forgot to mention was the 5.6% alcohol by volume in the Smokehouse ESB, but also beneath that, it also mentions a 48 IBUs, which...
Massively better, but not massively.
Yeah, it's not blowing the roof off the house at all.
No, it's quaffable for us.
Yeah.
Apart from the pretty reasonable strength, 5.6... I know you're Canadian, like, that's not a strong beer. It's a strong beer. Don't let anyone tell you any different. That's still a pretty strong beer. So I wouldn't want this as a session ale. I'm not going out tonight and drinking six of these because I'll be very ill.
No, I would sit down with friends and I will have two.
I would have two or three of these.
Yeah.
In the same way as I would have, bless them, I come back to them a lot because it's an English style bitter. My old speckled hen that you can get the NSLCs over here, which has this color, and comes from Blighty. It's definitely similar in color. It has a slightly more it's slightly more spicy,
yes.
For sure. It has something going on in it that you don't get with these extra. I was going to say these English style bitters, extra special bitters. But they're quite similar.
I thought the speckled hen was a stronger percentage, but apparently it's only a 5.0. It's a 5.0.
Oh, 5.0.
Yeah, I don't know that.
It used to be 5.2 back in about 30-odd years ago. Then they sold it to one of the big breweries in the UK, and immediately they dropped the strength and started exporting it. And that's right. So 5.0, okay. It's lost some of its flavoring as well, but it's still pretty decent.
I'm going to rate it higher than a 5.0. I'm happily going to a high 8s. Maybe an 8.8, potentially an 8.9. I don't think it's a 9.0, but I think it's an 8.9 out of 10. That one.
Both of us probably going to do the same. So therefore, our first pun of the evening. If both of us are giving it a high 8, it's a high 8-us. I would give it the same. I would give it... I'd give this, quite happily, a 9 out of 10.
Well,
it's
okay.
Very smooth, rich, malty, just the right amount of hops for me, without me going, hops. It's lovely. Two or three pints of this, mate. If I were to do two or three pints of these with you now, without the ESB, I'd be quite happy with that. Mm-hmm. Cheers.
No.
9 out of 10. Great beer. Lovely.
Having a difficult time leaving the little bit for the flavor comparison at the bottom, but the
another one. Sorry to interrupt. I'm going to get another one, sure, and I'm going to get my Propeller ESB, and I'm going to, when you're not on air, I'm not doing it right now. I'd like to. I'm going to compare one against the other and just to see how close they are, because they seem quite similar in their flavor profile. Really rather similar, but I'll find out.
Well, the bonus there for you is that you're nice and close to the Smokehouse. Okay, so yes. the Beachstone bitter is not an extra, it's not an ESB, it's just an English bitter. So some of these are just English bitters, but this should be
the easy. Annapolis. What was the Annapolis Royal Brewery that we tried the English bitter there not so long ago?
Yeah, that was the Fenwick's. No, yeah, Fenwick's ale. It said it was a pale ale.
Ah, okay.
Ear to the street. This is Roofhound. That was a while ago. Yeah, that was an odd night. Some of them don't quite explain themselves properly. But speaking of not explaining itself properly, Lazy Bear Brewing out of Smith's Cove, a little ways along the valley, a little bit past Digby, if I'm not mistaken. All their cans look like this. They're nice, beautiful, small little, the 355 mil sizes, but they've got this delightful, this silver wrapping on a silver can, and then just one little colorful stripe in the middle, and each color denotes what the type is. So you get your pale ale, you get your IPAs and whatnot. I think we've done a few of these. We've done a sour. The sour is a beautiful, the cherry sour is in that. But this is the purple one for where it says on the top, and it's really tough. I'm sorry. It's so hard to read black writing on a dark purple can. So in tiny letters, it says the Royal ESB. It also says 6.0% alcohol by volume. There is no description on the can. When you go to lazybearbrewing.ca and you try to go over and check the beers, do you know what it says? 404 not found, but only on the descriptions of the beers. So I was really upset, and I started to worry that, has Lazy Bear suddenly, you know, they might do that thing where they've made the announcement and they're going under, but no, fear not. I went to the Facebook page and they've got Ladies Night coming up, so Lazy Bear is still going strong. Also another house that I've talked to about coming here on our show. So I did the next best thing. I looked up Lazy Bear Royal ESB, and it links to the 404 page not found, but you can see in the preview, the Google preview tells you what's in this beer. So by way of internet chicanery, I give you the Royal ESB from Lazy Bear Brewing, an English style bitter ale.
Right.
Earthy, herbal hops complement a richly flavored malt profile. 6%. I like that description.
That sounds very familiar, doesn't it? It almost sounds like all the others when they're describing their ESBs and English style. Ross, one thing which immediately springs to mind, they have an additional word. You said it several times, but you didn't highlight upon it. What makes this a royal ESB?
Rich earth?
Is this some kind of monarchial beer? Is this... Oh, by the way, you need to update your background.
I do.
You do that? Yes.
Monarchial...
Are they just trying to... trying to make it sound more amazing than it is? Is it just a word there to pique your fan? This is a royal ESB. I don't know. What I'm getting at is there any real need to have the word royal in there?
These are things that we can ask the beer sellers, the brewery itself, when we finally get the opportunity to talk to them. Now, did you open your can yet? Because mine... You know that sound when you open the, when you crack it? Mine was big loud. So I think there's a lot of compression in there. I worry slightly.
Here we go.
Listen up. Smells like it's got a bit more spice to it. That spice that we talk about in one or two of the others.
Oh my God. Yeah. I see what you mean. It had peanuts taking a soaking. that's the head of it so far. Yeah, bear with me. My peanuts have taken a bath.
Oh.
And then I'm going to have to get some kitchen towel.
Okay. I am turning this into, it is mostly the head. And again, to recap, the Lazy Bear is a small can, so it has to go in the small glass. And the Smokehouse is a large can, so it has to go in the large glass. So things are... Differentiated the back and the forth. Yas. Yas, and that is how you do. It was, I had a moment of worry when I thought that Lazy Bear might not be updating their website or something was going wrong with their brewery, because I like that they're there and I do like a number of their offerings.
Can I offer something immediately by the smell, which is all over the place because it's all over the table, the floor, my peanuts? It smells a bit like a cider. Royal ESB. I'm getting a... Not just a hint of, it smells quite apple-y. I don't know about the flavour. I haven't got that far yet. I could lick it off the table, I suppose. But it's quite different from the other one.
It's reminding me a bit of the pumpkin spices ones that we'd done before.
Interesting.
There's just in the can, not so much in the glass as it's being poured.
When did you get these? They seem to have been in the fridge... A wee while.
We've had these for a while. Yes, I think this was Oh my, who did we? This might have been two summers ago. I'm trying to remember.
Really?
I don't think we went to Smith's Cove with the baby.
You have a baby? Tell me this.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, just rented one last week.
Okay. I seem to have been in the fridge a little while. Yeah, of course you've already said there's nothing on the can to identify anything about it when it was brewed. Ooh. Or when it was...
Don't know how long this has been in there.
It looks quite different. Oh. This has a look of more of a maybe not massively. It's a little lighter in its color.
Just a tad. Maybe it might be a little cloudy. I can't even tell, but just some...
Yeah, a little unfiltered. It looks more like an IPA than a bitter in its color. More like, sorry, I beg you, not a bitter, but than a British or English style bitter. It looks more like an IPA, and there's definitely some sea monkeys in there.
I've vaporized. They've turned to cloud. I am smelling some cloves, some kind of a clove and or spice, very lightly off the top of this one.
I'm smelling apple. Isn't that weird?
That's very clove. Strange.
But you said you had a spice like pumpkin.
A sweetened spice, so it definitely could be apple pie too. Yeah, that same kind of apple and
cinnamon. Yeah, like a mulled cider thing going on there. Oh, it's going to be interesting, this, I think. This is going to be quite different from the Crossroads, which I thought was quite a typical ESB. I don't think this is going to be a typical ESB. But there again... This is a royal.
A royal.
ESB. Maybe the difference.
The richness. Earthy herbal hops. And a richly flavored malt profile. Okay, what's on there? Right.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Mm.
It's like a Christmas ale. That's what's going on there.
Mmm.
Now
I'm getting the apples.
Okay, the smell. That was like a mulled apple.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I think. But you were getting the spices, and I can understand. It's really more like a traditional, a Christmassy spiced ale to me.
It's
6% too, so it's
got
the strength of one.
Yep. But it is definitely coming across as more of a mulled cider. That's very interesting. Is it because we've kept it too long? Is this year and a half has done things to it, and maybe the chemical compound is?
I don't know.
Switched. I know you should. Don't
they don't keep it in cans for all that long, but I don't know. Year and a half is typically 6 months. They advise you don't want to keep them any longer than 6 months because they start to go over. But I don't know, mate. We've had beer that's been there longer than that, and we've not had a problem with them.
The strong ones. I mean, this is 6%. But does it taste like... It could be argued that maybe the taste is that it started to not quite hold its freshness. I don't think it tastes spoiled. It doesn't taste gross.
It's different. It's the second swig off of it. I didn't. It has more of an unpleasantness to it. So maybe it has slightly passed its best. I was talking about it. The first good gulp and a couple of mouthfuls reminded me of a Christmassy ale. That one there more reminded me of my dad's homebrew in the 80s, which he hadn't quite let brew or ferment and age properly. So it wasn't quite ready.
So, I think we tend to occasionally judge things harshly, mostly because if we've left them in there too long, and because craft beer, the bonus there is they don't have to try to last on the shelf for years and years and years. So you don't need to fill it with preservatives or, you know, put the little twinge on it to help it stay. So this is all, drink it. Like Patty says, drink fresh, drink fast and drink often. Go. And it's all about just getting it in you as soon as possible. So I'd be curious to try this again. I'll reach out to Lazy Bear and I'd love to talk about their offerings and see what they'd like to discuss.
You brought back a whole ton of Lazy Bear brews when you came back. I remember you hoying like half a dozen at me.
We've had a few, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I think there's a. Oh no, I beg your pardon, Ross. I might be mistaken. I might be thinking of the Horton Ridge 355s as well, which are sitting there in my fridge.
Yeah, we've got one or two in there too, as well.
Yeah, they're the same. The same size, etc. So maybe it's the I might be mixing up with the 355s from Horton Ridge because there's a few in there, but Lazy Bear are still a couple in there. Maybe it's slightly past its best. So it might be unfair to really judge it at this point. It's distinguished, I'll tell you that. It's quite different from the Smokehouse ESB. I don't love it. If that is how it's supposed to taste, it's a little not particularly pleasant to my taste buds.
No, and it's tasting more and more like it's not aged well to me. But I can't tell if sort of the spicy appleness of it is part of the gone wrong. Because maybe this is what we were looking for, where it was a bitter that had that little tinge of sweet. But the problem with the sweet is when a sweet has gone off, then it comes across like a crab apple.
A vinegary
smell. Yep.
Yep, it can do that if it's not quite right. And that can happen to homebrews occasionally, where it has, a bit jaded. It is a bit vinegary, and apple cider can be a bit like that. Maybe we should give it a second go.
This is a low score with an asterisk, because I'm pretty sure that we didn't give it its fair go.
Whereabouts is this brewery again? You just mentioned it, down Digby way.
Yes, it's Digby and then the next one.
Okay,
so when Oh wait, no. Wait, hang on. Hang on. Where's Smith's Cove? Is it just past Annapolis Royal, or is it past Digby? It is just before Digby.
Okay.
There we are. Do you know that bit of the highway when you're going out in that direction, going out west, and the number one, so the old highway, the main road, it actually stops and merges with the 101, and then it crosses a bridge, and then it turns, and then it splits again.
Not off the top of my head, but okay. I'll take your word.
It is just before you when you start to see, you go across a bridge and you can see Digby off in the distance, and it's very pretty.
Okay.
Take the next exit, and you're there, and you're here. You're in their yard.
Right. From here, probably an hour and 10 minutes, something like that. Maybe only just over an hour.
Tell me.
That might be a little journey that I could do myself. Sometimes I go further than an hour in my car. Maybe that's something I could do myself.
We used to go on some nice, delightful voyages. I'd like to get myself back down to, I want to get back down to Muscadabba to go to Sober Island. I need to get into Sheet Harbor and Sober Island to see what else they've got on, because I was editing some older videos, and I know that of the four pack, the Marigold Blonde, the Betts Black Oyster Stout, and the Beach, is it the Beachstone Bitter? Yes. I think it's the Beachstone Bitter. I know three of those four I loved, my favorites of that style. And I couldn't remember what I thought of the Wavebreaker IPA. That was the fourth one in their pack of four. And I recently edited the video where I tried the Wavebreaker IPA. I think you were away that time. And I was watching my reaction to it saying, okay, I loved that. And even though it was an IPA, so I want to get down to Sober Island because they have not missed for me. They have not missed, not once, mm-hmm. not stepped out of mm-hmm. line, even a little teeny tiny bit.
Looking at that picture behind you of their establishment, if that is their establishment, I believe it is. It looks so charmingly rustic. Look at it. Look at the door. Look at the premises. There's a barrel there. Everyone's sitting outside
in the garden. It's delightful. In here, there's a door that goes through that way to the left when you go into the door, and that's kind of where the shop is. But there's this place that you sort of sit, because over here, to my left, there's a little mobile home, and that's the kitchen.
No, and really?
They do wood-fired pizzas out in this little trailer on stilts, and you bring your pizza and you go eat it inside, or you go eat it on the front, on the back lawn.
I'm going next month. I'm going in May on a sunny day.
Now, I'll tell you what happened when we went. Okay, because you can see behind me, you can see through the establishment where there's windows on the other side. So you can see how small this room is. We walked across these steps. We stepped up here and we walked in, and way in that back corner, you know, all 11 feet across the room was, you know, a dude maybe in his late 20s, early 30s. And he's there and he's got his guitar. And he's got his little fedora and his amp.
Yep.
His amp.
He doesn't need one.
This is the room that he's got his amp turned all the way up. And he's singing, you know, Folsom Prison Blues and Ring of Fire. It was not Tim Vallely. No, I would have shouted at Tim. I would have said, Tim, you can honestly 3/4 that. You can half your volume and still make everyone happy. And there's everyone, and they're sitting there eating their pizza, going, "This is really good." What? And I could not hear.
Yeah. You didn't need an amp.
I couldn't hear Brittany next to me. We tried to go through here into this next room, and I just said, "I would like to buy a pint glass, and I will buy those ones because they seem interesting, and I honestly can't concentrate on anything else. Please let me buy this and leave as fast as possible. This is crazy. It's too loud in here."
You're in your mid-40s, though. I mean, some people might like that, but no, what am I talking about? This is a craft nano brewery. So no, none of the customers in there were there for the... for loud music,
they all seemed quite happy, because I think it's one of the things of, luckily we don't have a big audience, so I don't have too many people to insult, but you know how there's really basic people who like something because you only like something because you think you're supposed to like it. So you're out, you're having wood-fired pizza, which is delicious. The pizza's delicious. We got it to go. And we're in a pub. We're eating pizza. It's too loud to even think, but we're in a pub right now. You know, and you just get excited that you're doing that thing that you're supposed to do. Where even if you're from five houses down, you... you're doing the tourist thing. We're in Nova Scotia. He's playing farewell to Nova Scotia. Isn't it good?
May I interrupt there for a
please
moment?
Do.
That's how I felt when COVID lifted its restrictions.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, I could go and sit in the pub and talk to people. And I'm like, yeah, this is so exciting. I was beside myself with excitement that I could finally go into a place again and listen to music and have a beer and not be... By the way, it looks like a pottery. If someone told me there is a kiln in there and they're firing some glass bowls, I'd be like, yeah, I could totally see that. It's what was it historically, this premises? Have they turned it?
I think it's like a little farmhouse or something like that. It's just an adorable little house. I mean,
it looks
drive
amazing.
Down and ask. I don't know.
I'm totally going to, and it might be next month. I love the look of it.
So my incessant butt on your yay, we're all back and COVID's over is why did it have to be at 110% volume? Why?
Oh no, totally. I'm 100%. You've just gone 110. I've gone 100%. No, of course. You're not performing to 1,000 people. You don't need an amplifier. Unless, of course, you're me, in which case you use rubber picks and you sing so quietly that sometimes when I'm sat there in the library pub, Ross, two Saturdays ago, I went to...
you went to go see Carter and Vic?
I did. Oh. I've been a couple of times now in the last couple of months. And 2 weeks ago, I sat there. You know how big that room is. Mm-hmm. And you just said 11 by 11 there for that. It can't be much bigger than that little room. Nope. But because I am so quiet with my rubber picks and the way I play, he's brought an amp. He did bring an amp. And I said, may I plug in? And he said, yep. And I plugged in his guitar. His guitar is better than mine by about $3,000. And a microphone. Who needs a microphone and an amp and a pickup in an 11 by 11 room? Well, this guy. But then I don't sing at the top of my voice as a result. I can sing low, just like at your tan coffee shop. And in the corner then, and people then kind of go about their business rather than shouting it into the amp. Or into the microphone and making everyone within 100 meters think, what the hell's going on in there? So there is a time and a place for it. But if he was playing it low, if he was giving it low using the amp and with the microphone, but if you sing very loudly straight into a microphone and a small room, you messed it up.
Carter's got his amp and his microphone. And when I've been there to... two times that I've been he plays and it just this golden sound. He knows how to make the right volume hit the room. Everyone's comfortable. You can sit up front and sing along, or you can sit one row back and you can turn to your friend and comfortably say, do you know what? This is a really nice establishment and I'm enjoying the music, and they will hear you. And his sound just does that. He sings nearly as softly as you do, but he can deal with the volume and how to control that. I have the unfortunate habit of I'm either definitely or I'm convinced that I can only be in tune if I'm loud. Like it has to be, and that's I won't hit the notes if I'm being really quiet. And I gotta go really high, and I'm not really sure if I'm gonna get all the notes up here. And it crackles a little bit when I'm trying to be quiet. I have to wail it out there. And
I'm the exact 180 degree opposite to you. Mm. It's the opposite for me. If I'm quiet, I can contain myself and restrain myself and stay with it. If I try to be louder, both with my voice or with my guitar, it falls to pieces. And I've proved that time and again with myself.
Huh.
Anyway, I'm airing my insecurities.
It's about time. I've spent 200 and some episodes, 190 episodes airing my insecurities. In fact, what are we at? I was checking. Ah, this is official week, notwithstanding where we've taken 3 weeks off over the last little while. Week number 163, and this is podcast episode number 71.
And, oh, no, it's not. Podcast episode 71.
Yes, it is. Would you like to know what beer it is?
I don't understand. What's the question? What beer it is? What do you mean?
How many beers we've had? Or, well, I've occasionally had without you. You've missed a couple. You've missed a few. But this is beer number 316.
Good grief. That you've had since episode one.
Yep.
And we're not running out anytime soon, are we? No. Well, it took me this long to know to find out, Ross, that I am today years old. I hear that a lot online. I was today years old when I discovered that. That's a thing. I was today years old when I discovered that if you pour, in this case, inadvertently spilt beer into cashews and peanuts, they taste rather delicious.
I mean, they're salt.
They're marinated in spiced ESB, and I'm really enjoying them.
Hear me out. Beer, okay. Peanut brittle. Like if it was a malted brittle.
Would it be less brittle, though? Because brittle denotes softness, crackliness, like hard, etc. If you pour liquid onto it, surely it would be less brittle.
Oh no, I don't mean like dipping it or anything like that. No, I mean, part of the mix when you make up your thing. I have no idea how to make peanut brittle. I'm going to assume it's a liquefied sugar, and then you just add peanuts. To it, and then it kind of re-solidifies. There's got to be more to it than that, because I have melted sugar and let it dry, and in fact that is the best version of holding together a gingerbread house if you're going for that kind of thing. Sugar is oh my goodness, it is the builder's boon. Yeah, not bane. You know what, I'm tempted to mix them together.
Can you see with these two? Wow, I'm not sure whether. I'm not sure whether the lazy bear is even as it's supposed to taste. Look at the difference in the color; it's quite distinct, isn't it? This is what I would consider to be a classic English style bitter ESB, if you will, color. This is quite different. This is more like a. It looks more like a honey ale. The color of it.
Yeah.
I think it's suffered, Ross. I really do. I think it's lost. It's gone over. And you just drank it all, so what the hell? You're still going to drink it. So am I. I can't mark it. It's unmarkable.
Yeah, I think you're right. I have to give it a star.
Unremarkable. Unmarkable.
It's definitely not good, but I think something's gone wrong. So a fresh one of these, a fresh ESB, would be more fair. And I would happily put that up against the Blue Heron ESB of sea level. So let's aim for that.
Good.
I will drive
next month, and I'm going to make it my aim to drive down to that amazing looking establishment behind you, listen to a guy playing at volume 11 in an 11 by 11 room, and sit out on that lawn. I want to sit on that. Is there a river right by it? Is that why it's called? I was going to say, is that why it's called Lazy River? It's not called Lazy River. It's called not. Lazy Bear. But is there a river anywhere nearby?
Yeah, right over there is the Bear River flows out into the Bay of Fundy, just right over that bit. Wait, Lazy Bear, yeah, okay. I didn't want to find Lazy Bear Brewing because here's the spring hours are available. They've got an event. They've got, so May 2nd, you've got Lewis Hodgson. Is playing music from 6 to 8. Mark your calendars. Blah blah blah. The Annapolis Farmers Market is blah blah blah. Live music. Oh, the April 25th. So Andy Elliott is going to be out there. They seem to have a lot of live music. And can I also say this?
What have you
don't need live music. You don't need it. You every single tap room doesn't need light. You can just set Spotify and classic 70s rock and you're fine. You don't need cranked up to 11 live music of people playing the exact same music you can get on Spotify, probably better.
By the way, of all the local establishments, music specifically we're talking about, you just mentioned not live music. If you're not going to play live music, most pubs will play music in the background, just as a little background. And I want it to be background. I don't want to have to shout over the noise of either the live act or the radio whatever the hell it's called. And there is one pub that I go into in this area where it's nailed every single time. Where every time I go in there, I'm like, oh my God, I love coming here because of the music that they select on the... it's one of these online music stations. I'll see if you can guess that. While I also... toozle your noodle here about your Wayfarers... music jam thing that's starting this very weekend.
Well, I totally
want to be there at.
It is definitely part of that same vibe and part of that same rant. And I thought I was sticking my foot in my mouth. I went into Wayfarers. I was there, and the owner walks up, says, "Hello, I'm the owner." And somehow we got onto the topic of types of live music I hate. I mean, I will spill my opinions on everybody, and I did. So we got on the topic of, why is everything so loud? Why do you have to go into every single pub and every single tap room and every single brewery, craft brewery in Nova Scotia, and just get your eardrums blown out? She said, that is a bit of a thing. And I said, I miss the days when, you know, we'd have a jam session, you know, just another establishment just up the road. We used to have it on a Saturday afternoon. But Carter and Vic have their wonderful, wonderful music afternoons, and it's all, you know, Everett sing-alongs and things like that. And that's what I want. I would love to recreate that with a combination of Carter's Saturday afternoon music sing-alongs and the jam that we used to have just up the road. But the problem with the jam that we had up the road was it was in a very small establishment. And so you'd be bumping elbows and, oh, we can't have this many people sitting around. But my thing with, when I'm talking, and I haven't quite fully negotiated this with Wayfarers, but there's a lot of space. Mm-hmm. There's some space up there that you can come in and acoustic and just everybody join in. And, oh, you've never played before? Come on over here. I'll show you how to make a G chord. Whee! And that's what I want. And I'm hoping that providing a friendly, inviting, and also hopefully relaxing and comfortable musical afternoon, that will be good for musicians, either professional above and beyond or fledgling new musicians to kind of come in and say, how do I do the thing? But also to an audience on the other side of the room, sitting there having a nice beer on a sunny Sunday afternoon, saying, you know what? Yeah, I like this song. This is fun. And I want that. That is what I'm hunting. And I'm going
to
be...
Something unintimidating to...
to anybody.
Than Carter Lake.
The listeners are the players. Absolutely. But I know Carter Lake is my absolute hero for that kind of thing, because he is a unquestionably talented musician. And yet, at where I, just a stumbling three-chord cover tune playing idiot, will come up a Leaf fan, and I'll say, I know a song, and he'll come in and say, hey, can I jam? Can I vibe in with that? And and he will somehow make Wonderwall sound like an opus. And he does it! And he does it in a way you're not even suspecting. He's an absolute musical genius. I got so much time in the world for Carter. My facial expression changed because I quickly looked over at the Lazy Bear Brewing Facebook page, and their banner, so you've got a profile picture and a banner, and you got all the things, but their banner has this delightful old-fashioned sepia tag on a bottle, and it says, The Colossal. And underneath it, it says Belgian triple.
And I say, if that's any less than 9.5%, I'd be astonished.
Do tell. Well, I'm going to click on the thing now. Strong beer. Oh.
While you're looking that up, you've just seen it because you've just giggled. The pub where I go into, and I love the music every time, because being the age I am, and the music that I totally got into when I was in my late 20s. Go on.
How many guesses do I get?
You can have a couple.
Mm. No, go on. You were describing being the age and the height and the hat enthusiast that you are.
Not the height, but definitely the age I was when I really started getting into more alternative music in the early 90s. And for some reason, their playlist always nails it for me. And it's sometimes a little too loud. You've been there with me.
Oh, I was going to guess Roofhound.
Oh, you're bang on. Absolutely. Oh, okay.
Because when we went to the Oak and Barrel, you took Oak and Barrel was my second guess, and I thought Oak and Barrel was a little pressure-y. But no, I love Roofhound.
Roofhound's music. What's it? Not Spotify. What is it? Sirius, maybe. I don't know. Man. But the music is always bang on. It's early 90s or mid-90s grunge alternative rock station, and it's fabulous. Yeah. And you don't get that in Addies or in... Well, anywhere. Anywhere else, to be
honest. I hate to say it. Most of the brewers are... either my age or your age. So I feel like either they don't care about the music at all, or they're trying to, what do the young people want to listen to? Blam. But every now and then we find ones that are sort of like, nope, you're going to listen to what I listen to. So sit down and shut up. You know, we're going to have Pink Floyd and it's going to be on 7. Go.
If you walked into a pub and they had AVR playing at volume 9, would you stay?
I mean, I know exactly where I am. I'm at Joe's. And I know exactly what I have to order. And it's a Propeller Galaxy because it's the only thing on tap that is palatable.
Yeah.
These mainstream... Well, not mainstream, but the non-craft... The non-tap room pubs... Sorry, with their rather limited selection of local craft beers. They have a couple of Propellers, and maybe one or two of the Schoolhouses that I don't like quite so much.
Nine Locks. There'll be 9 Locks represented usually.
Honestly, up in the Valley, I haven't seen that all that much. Oh, no, the Dirty Blonde. Yes, the Dirty Blonde is everywhere. That's true.
Absolutely.
But I've come around on the old Propeller Galaxy. I've started really... whenever I see it, I'm sort of, okay, yep, I know what I'm getting into. Give me the hazy, big percentage thing, and yeah, we'll do it.
That's right. And I'm getting into it, so maybe I'm coming to IPAs just as they're beginning to wane. Ross, good fun night. Thank you very much. ESBs. I love this on my right. Not loving this, but I really want to go and pick a couple up. Mm-hmm. And like you said, we'll do that with the Blue Heron.
That I've given you a small stack of business cards to take with you before you to go on your big adventures. So we'll hope to do that soon. That'll be coming up. Uh-huh. Very soon.
Oh, yeah. It's quite like a Christmas ale, but one that's not quite right. Yeah. And I left this book deliberately so that I can say I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's got to be a star by that one. So we're doing a little bit of the road tripping, and when we get back from the road tripping, we'll have some more. But we do have a number of beers still in there. We're reaching out to a number of other breweries. Like Ian said, I'm also starting, if you're in the Valley area, Wayfarers Ale Society. Not to tip my, favoritism towards Wayfarers Ale Society, that I'll be hosting a jam session there the first Sunday of every month. We'll try not to make it too obvious that I'm, working with them. I don't know. It's a space and it's music, whatever. And there's craft beer involved. But Ian and I are back here every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. here on youtube.com/@drinknsdry. You can find the podcast at any other podcasty places. I got an email today that Google Podcast is finishing and it's going to be on YouTube podcasting, so I got to have to switch that around. So wherever you get your podcast things, we'll try to be there. And if you want to go straight to the source, it's drinkns.unsupervised.beer. But we are here. We'll be back here next week, 8 p.m. So join us then. Thank you for being here, and have a good night. Good night, all, everyone.